Thank you so much. Thank you.
Change makers, praise the Lord. This session we have is a session of combined meetings. We have our workers training globally at this time. We also have the change makers refreshing, refining. The Lord will refresh you. Amen. The Lord will refine you. Amen. Change. You will change. Amen. I am born again. I thought change ended when I was born again. But now I understand. After being born again, something still must change. You didn't give a good amen. Amen. That's what the Bible calls sanctification. And really, many years ago, after salvation, after sanctification, holiness of heart, I thought change had now settled and it was final. But now I discover that change is now beginning. Amen. Yeah. You know, Jesus said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I tell you, that experience of being immersed, saturated, enveloped, completely taken over, bought over by the Holy Ghost, it's a mighty, mighty change. And yet, that's not the end. Whatever experience you have, whatever level you have reached in life, and whatever you possess of the grace and the gift and the glory of God, you are going to have a new level. A higher level of change, even in your life, in your heart, today, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not here to just, you know, do things as usual. Can God so open your eyes, the eyes of your mind, that it will so renew you, that a definite change, what you never knew, what you never had, you will know today, you will see today, you will possess in Jesus' name. And if there are believers here who do not know about what change we can have, when I say believers, you believe in God. You believe that this universe needs a new discovery. You believe that you can be part of that discovery and you can turn things around. I welcome you. Amen. A change will happen. Amen. Now, those who may not understand where I'm coming from, there have been times in the past that the whole world thought the world is flat. And that if you keep on walking because it's flat, you'll eventually get to the cliff where you just fall off. But somebody started thinking and started walking and discovered the world is not flat. The world is round like a ball, like a globe. Discovery. There was a time when people did not know how the brain works. The cells we have in the brain, the blood, the heart, and the whole circulation of blood. And there was a time when life was so short, it was long at the beginning, the time of Adam Methuselah. And the time of Moses, it came to about 120. And when they thought of long life, they thought long life was like this. It came to a point just a century ago that lifespan in the most developed countries was about 40, 45 years. But some people felt there must be a change. And it kept on. Lifespan generally now in some civilized places, 70, 76. And then they're even going to 80. And there are people who are working. There are scientists who are working. They want to bring a change to that kind of death that you die at 50, at 60, at 70. Because after you've got all the wisdom you need to have, and when you should use that wisdom for the world in which we live, then you are gone. They say no. So changes are taking place everywhere because there are people that give themselves to wanting to make a change. And that's why you have come here tonight. It's not just to be, you know, the regular Bible verse explanation only on the narrow sense. Today, we broaden everything so that you will envision, you will see the change you ought to be and the change you ought to make. And the Lord open your eyes. The Lord touch your heart. And the Lord move you up so that you will be a change maker. If you accept, if you believe, if you will hook in, plug into what you are saying, say great amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for creating us. And you said we should explore. We should subdue, we should refresh, we should subdue the earth. Lord, now we come and we're praying everything it takes to move us from where we are to where we ought to be. Do it in every life in Jesus' name. Amen. We surrender our mind, our heart, our spirit, our soul, our thinking faculty, everything within, everything we have, we surrender everything unto you. Make a change in us and use us to make a change in our world. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You can sit down tonight. We're coming in together as change makers, and we're talking about refreshing and refining change makers. Refreshing. First, we need to be refreshed. You know, sometimes we're weary and dreary and dry, and we're tired, we're worn out, we're having burnout. And because of the burnout, we cannot even think. We cannot go in any other direction except the directions we have been going before. But when the refreshing comes and your person, your inner man, and your person, your soul, and your person, your spirit, everything refreshed, then you think afresh. Then you look afresh. And what you had seen before, and you've seen a number of times, and you never thought about anything about it. You're so refreshed, you see it again. It's like, was that there before? Did I see that before? Yes, you will see something afresh. And then there is a refining. A refining when you have gold, for example. And it's a block of gold. And you put that gold in the fire. And it is melted. And the impurities, the ores, we call them ore. The ores, all those things are melted away. And now you have the gold melted so that you can mold. Before you mold, you have to melt. So you melt that gold and then you mold that gold into a new shape. And as you are molding, if there is any kind of a mistake, you mend again. and you keep on monitoring. You know, that's our life. Our lives, before you are melted, you'll be rigid. You will be like a useless block. Although you have all your faculties, they're so rigid, they see the same thing, the same time, all the time. And now, as you are melted, in the melting, in the process of molding you, in the molding, as Jeremiah went to the potter's house, if there is any mistake, then there is a mending while you are monitoring the process of change. That's what God does. And if you allow him to take over your life, that you are melted and you don't receive that. He's molding you, you don't receive that. He's monitoring how the process is going. And then if there's any mistake, you amend it. And eventually you come out well refined. Tonight we're looking at refreshing and refining change makers. There's a verse here, Isaiah chapter 28. I'm reading from verse 12. It says, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they will not hear. This is the refreshing. You go through life, walk, read, study. And there's no time of reflecting. There's no time of rethinking. There is no time of examining and re-examining what you have done, what you are doing, and you're almost dying weary on it. Stop and reflect and find out, if I go on like this, where would I be in 5 years? Look forward. If I move on like this, what would I achieve in 10 years? Think through. If I go on like this, another decade will come, 2 decades will come. Where shall we be? Think about our country. If we continue like this, from independence, then we have the Civil War. After the Civil War, we started rebuilding again. And it came up to this level. And then the Democratic government came in. We elected them. And now we are here. And within these few years, we've gone from there up to here down. If we continue like this and nobody changes the slope and the speed at which we're going down, where shall we be in 10 years, in 20 years? Where shall we be in 2050? Other countries are setting goals. They're saying by 2030, that's where they will be. By 2050, there is where we'll be. But we Christians, we believers, we Bible believers and Bible readers, we just go on. Yes, we know things are going down, but we go on doing the usual, what we have always done. That's why we stop and we say we need a rethink, and we need a refreshing. And then it says, there will be a rest. When there's a rest in your family, a rest in your soul, rest in your mind, rest in your brain, and you're not scattered here and there, and then the hand of the Lord touches you, and you are refreshed, you will come up. We will come up with a solution that will save our country, our community, that will save our environment from going down the drain. In our lifetime, we will see a positive change. Then there's a refining. Malachi chapter 3. And I'm reading from verse 3. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall sit, the workman, is the creator and the recreator, is the one that formed and he reforms, is the one that refines us. And he says, he shall sit as a refiner of silver and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi. As a Bible reader, I need to remind you, the Levites already born into the nation of Israel. That's similar to our being born again. They were already circumcised, because it says, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart after circumcising their body. And then it says, you love the Lord and you love the world that the Lord has created. You love what he loves, and you develop what he wants to develop, and you do something that shows that you have that world, that earth, planet, as a gift. You want to leave it better than you met it. And now he says, those sons of Levi, he will purify them. He's talking to us after you are born again, after you are sanctified, and after you have good Christian experiences that makes you different from all the people around you. He says, can I still work on you and purify your thoughts and purify your sight so you have insight? Many people have sight, they don't have insight. They don't have insight into what can we do. How can we move things around? How can we change things? He wants to purify the sons of Levi and to purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Amen. That's what we're looking at. Refreshing, refining, the change maker. Three things we're quickly looking at. Number one, recovering the heart of our inner world. Recovering the heart of our inner world. There is an inner world, the world inside you. And that world inside you will determine what you see, what you do of the outside world. Recover it. Number two, restoring the health of our intimate world. Recovering the health. You know, you can only do what you need to do when you're healthy, when you're sound. And what's health? You're totally free from disease. The disease of the body, the disease of the mind, the disease of the brain, the disease of the total man. The man that is, you know, you see him outside, and when we think of health, health is wealth, because health allows you to have wealth. Health allows you to think right, to look right, to act right, and to move things around. You have the energy, you have the backbone, you have the strength. And because of that, you'll be a real, real change maker. You're lost an amen. There are theoretical change makers. They talk loud. And they boast, we are going to change the world. We are the people. My brother, my sister, do something. Make it practical, not just a theoretical change maker. Look at something, all the things around you. Pick something and say, this, if nobody else looks at this, I am going to change this one for the better. But you need the health, the restoring of our health, the health of our intimate world, your own health, the health of your family, and the health of those who are close to you, the health of those who are working with you, the working condition, everything. You say, everyone the acquaintances, the workers, the associates, and the subordinates, I am going to be an agent of good health, soundness to those who are my intimate world. Number three is the raising of the harvest of an influenced world. Influenced world. You need to understand, the world tries to influence us from the time we are born as a baby, as a toddler, as a child, as a teenager, and even as old grown men. The world around, they so want to control us that we don't have the mind to even take over our lives and go the direction we want to go and change the world around us. There's so much involved influencing us that we don't ever stop and think, hold on, hold on. That's not the direction I want to go. Hold on. That's not the intention I have in land. Hold on. That is not what I want to be. The world will try to influence us, and they do it in various ways. Some are gentle. Some are quite tough. But you see, this one life, when I get to heaven, I'm going to give an account of what I have done, where I have been, and what changes I made in my world. And so you influence that world. And now you want to raise up and harvest of influenced worlds. Number one, we're looking at recovering the heart of our inner world. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart, well, you know, the normal heart, the physical heart, that's the part of the body that distributes blood to the brain, to the nerves, to the hands, even to the feet, to the toes, everywhere. And if there is a problem with that heart, that the brain does not have the amount of blood it needs, and of course the oxygen, once the brain missing the opportunity of having oxygen and blood there, it's just a matter of minutes, life is gone. When the heart stops, the body stops. They say he's clinically dead and it's gone. What can we do after the heart is gone? They say that man has heart. He has mind. If he wants to get something done, he has a heart to do it. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. What heart do you have? I'm talking about the heart that has courage. You know, it's not what the hand does, it's what the heart wants the hand to do. It's not how the legs run. It's what the heart makes the legs to do. And it is not the way you think. It's not what the brain functions. It is a matter of the heart. That's the reason why it says, keep that heart with all diligence. Whatever will negatively affect your heart, break it down. Courage comes from the heart. Love comes from the heart. Sympathy comes from the heart. Association and decision that is what I'm going to do, it comes from the heart. All those good virtues, they come from the heart. And when you don't take care of that heart, you don't even know that the courage is seeping out. The love is oozing out. and the compassion you ought to have, and that compassion comes from the heart. You are not keeping that heart. Eventually, all those good virtues have gone out. And then you are just living. It's like a living, walking carcass. Show me a man. Even the courage to live is gone. Show me a man. The love to relate, all that is gone. Show me a man. Show me a woman. That the sympathy, the milk of human nature that even comes to sympathize with others, empathize with others, everything is gone. And she has no heart. You know, so you see somebody dealing with another person. You say, oh, look at this fellow. Look at the way he's handling this man. He's handling this woman. Doesn't he have a heart? Keep that heart. Keep that heart. Because that is the beginning. You are recovering the heart of the inner world. It tells us in 1 Samuel. And we're looking at chapter 10. First, I will read verse 9. Then I'll go back to verse 6. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. Another heart. Somebody help me shout, another heart. Look at Saul. He was a normal man. He didn't even know that there was anything missing. He had a heart. The heart of a man. The heart of an Israelite. The heart of, you know, a kind of stout man. But he didn't know for this new position that God was calling him to. He didn't know he needed another heart. And God knew. And so, as he had finished with Samuel, discussing with Samuel, going like this, God gave him another heart. If I go through life and I'm not thinking of making any change around me, don't I need another heart? If I go in the midst of people in need and I don't ever think of meeting that need. I only think about myself. I only think about what I did yesterday. I want to do it today. I want to always. I want to think of what's in need for me. What can I have? I'm not thinking of, I see eating. Once I've eaten, what's your concern with? I see eating. Is he happy? Once I'm happy, what's my concern with? Is he happy? I need another heart. You need another heart. And as God was going to raise up Saul to be a leader of the people, he gave him another heart. My brother, my sister, my friend there, you can go through life having the same heart you had 10 years ago. And you will not make a difference in the world. The difference you didn't make 10 years ago. If you have the same heart of 10 years ago, you will not make any difference. Different from the difference you had made many years ago. But as we come here today, and you say, Lord, my heart does not see anything to change. My heart does not see anything to transform. In the world in which I live, I hear them saying they need a change, they need a change. But I can't see. God will give you another heart. It's what the heart will see. We see with our heart. It's what the heart will think. We think with that heart. It's what the heart will begin to say. Not just me. I want to make the world better than I met it. He gave him another. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 now tells us. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. Say amen to that. And thou shalt prophesy with them. Thou shalt prophesy with them. You know, Saul, he had been a man of the past. What was is what is and is what will be. A man of history, a man of the past, but no prophecy, no proclamation of what has not happened yet that will still happen. But the Lord said, I give you another heart, and you'll be a man, not a man of the past. It used to be. I used to do. I used to go there. I used to eat that. I used to mingle with them. I used to plan with them. He says, now, when I give you another heart, you'll be a man that will see the future. You will see the future. I said you will see the future. And then you begin to work not to make today like the past, like it was. You become the creator of a new initiative. The creator of a new plan. Because you can see now ahead of you, a man of prophecy. And then it says, and thou shalt be turned to another man. Another man. Connect those two things together. Another heart, another man. Another heart, another man. When you have a change of heart, you turn around and the Lord makes you another man, another woman. Is that new man, is that new woman that can do what has to be done and what ought to be done. It's the heart, and the Lord can do it and give us that heart. He will do it in Jesus' name. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31. Ezekiel 18, verse 31. Cast away from you all your transgressions. You know our transgressions? Transgress. Transgression. They have a way of making our heart kind of scorched, I'm looking for another word, but anyway, it's the transgression, they make our heart hard, just in one direction. Somebody is smoking, the heart develops a habit. And then we keep on doing that. We don't think of any alternative in life, because transgression sets you up and makes you what you were. It's what you are today and what you will ever be, except something happens. That's why it says all your transgressions, you cross the line. You transgress its word. You transgress its way. You transgress everything God desires. And that makes you, conditions you to always go in that direction. It says, if something new is going to take place, cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, whereby ye have crossed the line, whereby ye have contradicted the way and the will and the word of God. And now it says, make you a new heart. Make you a new heart that you sit down. It takes time. And you reflect over your life. And you think over your life. If I continue like this, and I keep on crossing the line, and I keep on going astray, watch what my life become. It won't even be of good use to you, not to talk of being of good use to other people. And so cast away your transgression. Your transgression will be different from her own transgression. Your transgression will be different from his own transgression. And so you look at yourself, You examine yourself and you see the path you have been taking. And you say, this one up. It's like you have a basket of heavy pebbles, stones. You pick them one by one, that has to go. You pick another, that has to go. And when you confess everything to the Lord and you turn away from them, you become lighter, light enough to carry or can carry you. Because now all those pebbles in your life, all those stones in your life, you have cast them off. It says, make you a new heart. And then it says, for why will ye die, O Israel? In verse 32. In verse 32, it says, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies. Our heart, sinful heart, our heart, selfish heart, our heart, insensitive to the needs around us, and we just do what we want to do. Once we're happy, if the rest of the world is unhappy, that's their cup of tea. That kind of heart causes death. You die to conditions around you, you die to the improvement you could make, and you die to the invitation of God, so that his presence will be in your life. And then it says, therefore, turn yourselves and live. You will live. I will live. Look at Ezekiel 36, and I'm reading from verse 26. Ezekiel, hear God himself is speaking, and he says, a new heart also will I give you. A new heart also will I give you. Remember, he gave Saul another heart, and Saul became another man. If all you do is hear what you are saying, but you don't wait to receive that new heart God wants to give you, you remain the same man, the same woman, with the same sight, with the same insight, with the same fear, with the same fretting. And what you have in life will not be able to even carry you through, not to talk of carrying other people through, to be a change maker. But when you wait on him, and he gives you a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Not around you, not at your back, not somewhere afar, inside you. A new spirit, you'll know. When you have that new spirit, tell you new things in your heart, and move you new ways in your heart, and develop new vision inside you. He gives you a new heart inside you, and he gives you a new spirit. And then he says, I will take away the stony heart. I will take away the stony heart. What's a stony heart? It's a heart that has no feeling for anyone, anytime, anywhere. I'm going to the place of work, and I see a man bleeding and dying on the side of the road. And I look at him, and I count my getting to my place of work at 8 o'clock more important than his life. I go on. I cannot do like the good Samaritan that left his journey. What makes him to leave the journey? It's another heart. What makes the priest and the Levite to go, leaving that man there to die? It's the old heart, the stony heart that has no feeling for anyone. I see a bright child. Maybe I'm a teacher, and this child has photographic brain, literature, just like that. English, like that. Math, just like that. Chemistry, just like that. And I find the child crying. And I say, why are you crying? My daddy says, this is my last session, semester at school. Why? He doesn't have the money to continue to educate me. And I see the tears, I hear the words, I feel the pangs, and I say, sorry, sorry, sorry. That's the old heart, that's the stony heart. They will not take action. They cannot bring something out of themselves to say, this child, having this kind of brain, he must be educated. You see, God says the heart that has no feeling for a neighbor, has no feeling for the hungry, has no feeling for the underprivileged, he says he'll take that heart away. Amen. 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 You know, you don't have to wait for, you know, elderly people to come and say, come. In our community, we're going to educate all these young people, whether they're from our families or not. We don't need that. All that, all we need is a new heart. And when we recover, rediscover that new heart, you will do good. If you have the money, you'll build hospitals. If you have the money, you'll provide for the people that have nothing. You will be a financier. Not lending your father money and say, Daddy, I don't need this money now. You're my dad. I lend you. Have you heard of people lending money to their father? The father is suffering. You honor your father and your mother. How do you do that? You care for them, not lending them money. But Daddy, I lend you this. And this is the interest. Because you are my dad, I'll take simple interest. I'll not take compound interest. Isn't that the old heart, the stony heart, that did not remember that was responsible in bringing me to this world? Whatever I have, without him and mommy, could I have them? And whatever I am today, I travel here, I travel there. Is it not mommy and daddy that gave me the privilege? When you have a new heart, you think in a new way. You act in a new way. You behave in a new way. I lost my amen. Because it says, he'll take the stony heart out of your flesh and give you an heart of flesh. An heart of flesh. And I need to ask myself, do I have an heart of flesh? I'm not saying, do I preach? Of course I preach. Preaching is one thing. Having a heart of flesh is another thing. When pain chokes somebody, pinches somebody, do I feel it as if that pain had been driven into me? That's it. You have a heart of flesh. He suffers and I suffer with him. He's feeling like life is not worth it, and I come under his skin and I lift him up. That's having the heart of flesh. It's not a theoretical statement. I am saved. Thank God, I am saved too. I am sanctified. Thank God, I'm sanctified too. What kind of sanctification do I have? Theoretical or practical? A kind of life, a kind of heart that, you know, you are there to live for people, and you are there to make life better for everyone. I pray it will happen. Even to me. I said even to me. You know, I forget all that God might have helped me to do till yesterday. And when a new day arrives, I say, Lord, recover in me this new heart you're talking about in your word, that my inner man, the inner world, will be totally different from what it had been. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by spirit in the inner man. In the inner man. I know when my inner man is strengthened, there's courage there. I know when my inner man is strengthened, there is foresight and there is fortitude. There's a drive within. When the inner man is strengthened, then my inner world is expanding, it's getting brighter, and it's getting more involved in the lives of other people to make them what they ought to be. The Lord will do it for you. New vision, new vision, new virtue, new vigor, new vitality. When you see a man, you see a woman, she's running and running and running, and we say, are you not tired? He says, no. We say, why? Because there is something inside that is giving me the drive. And then you have that vigor, a new vigor, vitality, a new vow that you say, Lord, I've been kind of shying back, shying away from making any vow because I might not be able to do it. I'm not talking of, you know, I vow 10 naira to our church, and I'd always give the 10 naira, good for you. Other people say, I vow, I will always eat this amount, I want to put on weight, good for you. I'm talking of a vow that says, I will not live for myself anymore. I make a vow, I'm going to live for my neighbor. I make a vow, I'm going to live for the people outside my circle of relations. I'm going to make a vow that makes life better for other people, and it gives you a fresh vow, and it gives you a fresh vehemence that the things that ought not to be in your life, you're not handling them with gloves in your hand. You're vehement, you're violent, and you say, this must go. This selfishness, this self-centeredness, this must go. And then you have, you are now a new vessel. The Lord will do it. For me, for you, the Lord will do it. For your congregation, whether it's deeper life or higher life, another kind of life, Bible life, your congregation, the Lord will do it. And in your circle of influence, the people around you, it's like you're making an association and you're inviting people, you're bringing people, and the people in your circle of influence, you say, this is a vow. Another word is, this is a commitment. Another word is, this is a consecration. We're going to live for others. And you become a new vessel in Jesus' name. We're looking at number two here now. Number two, we're looking at restoring the health of confirmed, considerate, and the intimate world. Intimate world. We don't know all the world. You see America on the map, but you're not living there. You see the UK on the map. You know them geographically. You know them by reading, by listening to the news, but your intimate world, you can touch him, you can touch her, You can see her. You can talk to her. You can talk to him. They're not your relations, but you are intimate. What do you do? What influence do you have with the people that are intimate with you? Restoring the health of the intimate world. Now, when we talk of health, there is, you know, we have healthy relationship. We need to heal the relationship. We have a healthy body. And we need to heal that body. We have a healthy mind. You know, his mind is healthy. And you can tell. It's well coordinated. And if my mind is not well coordinated, that's a kind of disease for the mind. That I need to get myself together. My thoughts that could not center and go in a particular direction, in the needed direction. I need to bring that together. I need a healthy mind. I need a healthy language. My language, if it's corrosive, if it's acidic, and it brings pain to other people, my language needs to be cured. So that I have a healthy language. In short, every part of the man, the physical, the psychological, the emotional, the spiritual, needs a divine touch so that I am healthy. You'll be healthy in Jesus' name. Look at this in Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. And it says that that kind of heart helps us, that it addeth learning to his lips. Added learning to his lips. Look at Proverbs chapter 17 verse 22. In Proverbs 17, verse 22, it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A joyful heart, hilarious, happy, joyful. And when things happen that could make him sad, do you know that kind of sadness that brings depression, that brings worry and anxiety, that brings fretting, will slow your health. For example, you have a bucket of water. You took the bucket to the tap, and then you filled that bucket. You wanted to carry the bucket, and somebody said, come, come, come. Do you know an accident just happened now? And so and so. If he said an accident just happened, many died, no problem. You carry your bucket of water. But if he says, Madam so-and-so was in that vehicle and she died. And you are very close to that Madam so-and-so. That bucket of water, your hand is weak because it affects your heart. It affects your mind. Your heart is sad and sorrowful. Your heart is depressed. And because of that, you are sick emotionally. And the emotional kind of disease affects your physical body. You cannot carry what you could carry before. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy that comes to you when you have good news from afar and good things are happening and good results are happening and you have a merry heart. That merry heart does good like medicine. It's not just the pills we swallow. It is the news, the word that we hear. And in life, when you hear bad news, there are two sides to everything. If you look at that side, it makes you sorrowful. If you look at this side, thank God it's just like that. It could have been worse. That cheers you up. Thank God, that's the limit of that, but we can fix it up. and your heart is merry again, and you are alive again. That joy, that kind of attitude, because attitude is everything, cheers you up. You'll be healthy. I said you'll be healthy. Now, there is a kind of monitor inside us, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. If you hear something, and then that thing tends to make you sad, you ask yourself, has something like this happened before? Yes. Dig it out. That monitor inside your mind, inside your heart, your soul, will dig it up. This happened at that time. How did I turn that around? How did I overcome that? How did I bring lemonade out of the lemon? How did I bring something sweet out of the bitter? Your mind will remind you again. 19 such and so, 20 such and so, this happened. This is the way you dealt with it. And this is the way joy came out of that sadness. When you do that every time, there's a way you then keep your heart joyful, happy, merry. And it does good like medicine. It says, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. And so you have to look at that in your life. The Lord will keep you healthy. Amen. Merry. Amen. Happy. Amen. Jacob was going down. His health was going down. His life was going down. And it appeared he had an incurable disease. We call sorrow of heart. And he says, leave me alone. Let me die. Let me die. Let me die. He was thinking of death. He was dreaming of death. He was feeling, smelling death coming. All of a sudden, the sons went to Egypt. The one that they said is not. They discovered him. And he said, I am your brother Joseph. Is my father still alive? He said, yes, he gave them wagons, he gave them fruits, he gave them the riches of Egypt because he was now the prime minister there. And he came back home and he showed him the wagons. From who is this? Joseph, your son. Unbelievable. And then all the fruits. And then it says, we shall bring you to him so that you will see your son. Joseph, you thought I died, but he's still alive. He says, let me go. Let me go and see my son before, look at that word, before I die. The disease, the sorrow of heart, the disease, the sadness, the depression evaporated because of the good news. That's what it says. That's what you should follow. So that you'll be up and doing in your life. A good amen. Amen. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Look at Acts chapter 27. I'm reading from verse 34 here. Acts chapter 27, Paul and 276 others had been fearing they were going to have shipwreck. They were going to drown. They were going to perish. Because of that, they couldn't eat. Because the view, we're going to die, took appetite from them. Disease of the mind, the disease of the soul. And then an angel appeared to Paul and he said, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up. You need that merry heart, cheer up. Otherwise, you'll be thinking of death, dreaming of death, and you'll be going and going and going until gone. I saw the man yesterday. How did this happen? And he said his heart attack. What happened to his heart? His heart could not bear the heavy load of the bad news he's been hearing. The heart packed up and the man is gone. But the angel said, cheer up. you will get to your destination. And I come to tell you tonight, you will get to your destination. Whatever has happened in life, and whatever water has gone under the bridge, life is not over. And so after they said that, he said, I believe God, it shall be even as it was told me. For 14 days, they had not eaten. And so now he says in verse 34, wherefore I plead with you, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. Take some meat, because that meat, that food, this is for your health. Many people who believe in the Bible, when I say they believe in the Bible, they believe a few verses of the Bible, like, whosoever shall call on the Lord shall be saved. They believe that. But they don't believe the dietary part of the Bible. The plants that have been given to us that we eat. Many people only eat carbohydrates. And then when they make that thing very strong and very thick, and they swallow morning, afternoon, evening. Have you eaten? Yes. I have eaten. Filled? Satisfied? Yes. But there's no variety. And God has given us variety. Well, the vegetables we have, the fruits we have, you know, all those plant-based things. But the people who concentrate on that, and they said, I have eaten. I have eaten. And what they eat, it's eating them up. Because they do not have everything the body needs. We can talk about that another time, but you say take some meat, and the meat you take is for your health, is for your development. Your bones need development. Your blood system needs development. Cholesterol, it needs to have the normal level. What we call high blood pressure, what we call diabetes, all those things. Eat well. I don't mean stop yourself. I mean eat balanced diet. Amen. They are there. But you know, I don't just like oranges. What's your problem? I don't like all those fruits. I don't like the vegetables. Now, give me what I want. Maybe what you want is not what your body needs. Eat well. Eat balanced diet. You will live long. I'm looking at somebody there that will live long. Where are you? You'll live long in Jesus' name. You know, the promises of God are true. They are yes and amen. But you know, if, you know, it says, what long life will I satisfy you? Have you heard that before? Yes. What long life will I satisfy you? Have you claimed that? Yes. You claim that, but you know, you don't drink water enough, good water. But you claim, what long life will I satisfy you? Our body is made in our body. The water in our body, the percentage is high. And the percentage of the water that goes to the brain and makes the brain functional. We need that water. You must not be, you know, dehydrated. You drink water, good water. And as you do that, I don't mean the poor water on the street that they just got from somewhere and they put in the cellophane something and they put in the sun and, you know, the chemicals that mixes with that. Well, I don't mean that. I mean real water. I will drink. I will drink. You know, preacher, I'm just never thirsty. That's dangerous. Force yourself to drink the water. You will drink water. And so the Lord refines us. And the Lord himself, he restores us. Wherefore, I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health. And then it says, for there shall not an ear fall from the head of any of you. Out of the mouth of two or three people, the truth will be confirmed. Jesus said, God watches over all those sparrows. None of them will fall to the ground except by the knowledge of our Father in heaven. And he says, the very ears of your head are all numbered. Have you heard that before? Praise the Lord, even my nails are all numbered. Praise the Lord, even the cells of my body are all numbered. And everything in us, the small and the great and everything, every day and our future, everything all numbered. No bad thing will happen to you. The change that he wants of you will be done. You will not die before your time. There's a plan, there's a program, there's a project that you and you alone will do, will finish. And before you finish, you are not going anywhere. You stay here until you finish in Jesus' name. I claim that for myself. Really, 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 I claim that for myself. The Lord is your shepherd, you will not want. He makes the path before you. And then he's going to set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He'll anoint your head. Your cup will run over. I'm talking to somebody. I said your cup will run over. Surely, 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 goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And you will dwell, will abide in his house. How long? I'll see you there. We come to number three now. Number three, we're looking at raising the harvest of an influenced world. A teacher can say, I've influenced part of the world. A doctor can say, I have influenced part of the world. An engineer, a road constructor can say, I've influenced a part of the world. A cook can say, I have influenced a part of the world. A tailor can say, I have influenced a part of the world. Now, it's now in your hand. What part of the world are you going to influence? You'll influence your world. There'll be a new light. There'll be a new sight. And you'll get there in Jesus' name. The challenge for some people is in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 24. Jeremiah chapter 5. Verse 24, neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord, follow the Lord, our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in each season, and reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. The people went on living without thinking that rain that fell. Why? And then the period in between, why? And the latter rain, why? But they didn't think all the seasons that come and go is reserving unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. All the time that we have lived in this country and all the things that have happened, the water that went under the bridge and the evil that went over the bridge, and yet he preserved us. And here we are today because he has appointed the weeks of the harvest for you. A new day has come. A new opportunity has come. And the time that God gives you to live, you will make use of this gift profitably in Jesus' name. Change Makers International. Are you there? Change Makers. The rain of knowledge he gives for an appointed time. All that we have heard, all the seminars, and all these exhortations, the rain like rain coming, all the encouragement, all the motivation like rain coming. Now the soil of your heart is no more dry, vitalized. And now you are enriched because he has appointed for you the appointed weeks of the harvest. In the scriptures, there are times weeks and days are used for years. It's prophetic. He has appointed for you years to come. You'll have enough time, enough weeks, enough months, enough years to do what the Lord has appointed for you and why he preserved you until this time. Joseph said, you didn't send me here. Don't be sorrowful that you sold me into Egypt. The Lord has brought me to the appointed time of the fulfillment of my dream. For you. For you. For you. What you never discovered before, you will now discover. Sickness will not hinder you. Premature death will not hinder you. The sorrow of the past will not hinder you. The failure of the past will not hinder you. Let the army of champions rise up. Let the army of champions rise up. I mean rise up, rise up. We're now going somewhere. We have a destination. We're going to mount over every mountain. We're going to cross every sea. And anything that is like hurdle before us, we're jumping over, we're moving on. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. And now say, Lord, help me. Lift me up. I am moving on. Lift me up, and I am moving on. Tell the Lord, tell the Lord, tell the Lord. Anyhow you know how to pray, you have given me the appointed weeks, the appointed months, the appointed years of the harvest, and I will harvest in. Harvest in. An influenced world. I'll be a good influence in my world. Dependable, reputable influence in my world. I'll do something every week that I didn't do the previous week to move the world forward. An invention, go ahead. A recreation of something that will be useful to our community, go ahead. An encouragement for my neighbor, an encouragement for somebody nearby, go on. A touch of love. A touch of transformation. For people around me, move on. Lighting a candle. Lighting a little light to dispel all the darkness of superstition around me. Move on. An act, deliberate act, that unites enemies together. Move on. Do it. A contribution that affects the hearts of young people, restless young people, lawless young people, and bring them to the path of reasoning, rectitude. Move on, do it. An NGO that will serve a community in a way no other NGO is serving people. Go on, do it. A commitment to show the light of the gospel to other people that brings assurance to them that they have come intimately with the Lord and they are on their way, the highway of holiness unto heaven. Go on, do it. Influence somebody for the better. You're not finished the prayer here. When you go back home, kneel down. Be reverent before the Lord. Go over and say, Lord, make me a new man, a new woman with a new heart. And show me something to do to make my world better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's an amen now in your life. Amen. And you go back home with heaven's support. Amen. Heaven's provision. Amen. Heaven's affirmation. Amen. Heaven's confirmation in Jesus' name. Amen. Your heart will be new. Your health will be renewed. Amen. And your harvest will be abundant. Amen. Father, we thank you. You have heard the prayer of all your children. Everyone will be, by your grace, in your strength, by your spirit, a change maker. Amen. Let that spirit now, like it moved Samson in the camp, begin to move your people. Amen. In every good direction. Amen. And Lord, help us raise everyone up to do the good we have never done. Amen. To the people we have never helped. Amen. At the times we have never done it, at every opportunity. Amen. Confirm blessing upon everyone. And make us carriers of blessing, positive, everywhere we go. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless everyone.